Can you see what I'm holding up here? I'm holding a huge dollar bill. I mean, that'll really buy you a lot. That won't even buy you a sweet tea at McDonald's anymore, you know that? Or an unsweet tea. But you know what? Some people call this the almighty dollar. That pretty much tells you right there, the almighty dollar. Now, it is true that in the eyes of the world, the dollar is the answer to everything, right? Money's the answer to everything. I mean, about every problem in society, if you talk to a lost person, guess what the answer is? Throw more money at it. And let me tell you, though, surprisingly, when you talk about money, sometimes it stirs up a lot of emotion among Christians. Really? It kind of like, whoa, where are you going with this, preacher? Oh, now, what are you talking about there, preacher? You're talking about money. Okay, well, it doesn't need to be that way. We're different than the world. Would y'all agree with that? Would you agree that we serve a God and a Savior that's all powerful? Today we're going to continue to look at, we looked at part one last week, and I didn't get as far as I thought I would. And I know I said it was going to be really encouraging, and really it wasn't so encouraging. It was more challenging, but today's really ought to be an encouragement. Although we're going to talk about a sensitive issue, and I've always heard in ministry that the last part of some people to get saved is their purse or their wallet. But really, God's Word has a perspective on money and giving that you and I need to not only give lip service to and say, oh yeah, I believe the Bible. Oh yeah, I believe it's true. Oh yeah, I believe I'll follow it. But really, everything in our life ought to be governed by biblical principles. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Now, it's really easy for me as a Christian. It's easy for me as a Christian to say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe that. Yep, that's God's Word. Yep, absolutely, it's right. But now to follow, it's a whole different area. And believe me, I've never preached for someone just to give mental assent to something. Every sermon I always preach, whether it be a sensitive issue like money or whether it be an issue about reading your Bible or praying or whatever, ultimately the goal of preaching is to draw us closer to God in whatever area we're preaching on. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. So we're going to be talking about today a biblical perspective. A biblical perspective on money and giving. We're in a series. This is part two. The title of today's message is We Are Not Supposed to Worry About Money. We are not supposed to worry about money. Now, the honest truth is, we're not supposed to worry about anything, right? So why should we automatically have one exception? Well, we can't worry about anything but money. But today we're going to look at that in detail out of Luke chapter 12. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We were there last week and we covered some verses. We're going to cover a few more verses today. And I believe as a child of God. Now let me tell you, I was saved when I was 11. Now if you do the math, I'm 61, so I've been saved for over 50 years. I know we have some that say, well, wow, I'm a lot more than that. Praise the Lord, that's great. But can I tell you, I am still a work in progress. You say, preacher, if there's one thing you really didn't need to tell us because we already knew it, was that, because we know that you're a work in progress. But I am a work in progress, and I want to be challenged in the Word of God. I do. And I want to be challenged in the disciplines of Christianity, reading my Bible and praying and telling others about Jesus and tithing and church faithfulness. I want to be challenged in those disciplines. I want to be challenged in the Word of God. Woe is me if I can ever set, even as a pastor being saved for over 50 years and being in full-time ministry over 20-some years now, full-time ministry, and then if you put it all together, it's even more than that. Woe is me if I sit on my laurels and say, preacher, I really don't need to hear that. Because I've got it. I'm down pat. I want to see growth. I want to see maturity in my own heart and life. And if there's ever a preacher that tells you that they have arrived, they're wrong. So I'm really not challenging you with anything that I'm not challenging myself with as well. So I hope that we have ears of attentiveness. I hope we have hearts that are soft, that are sensitive, because God can still teach us new things in life that we need to be doing for the Lord. And show us in areas that we may be a little bit out of balance or a little bit out of perspective. Now, last week we talked about part one under this a biblical perspective on money and giving. Number one was we are not supposed to focus on money. We are not supposed to focus on money. We looked at Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. I'm not going to read it again. But the main point that we had is life is not about stuff. It's about a relationship and service to God. Life is not about stuff. It's about a relationship and service to God. The conclusion was, so do not focus on money. You see, this whole sermon we looked at last week started with a question. You remember that? It says one of the company. So Jesus is teaching a huge group of people, it seems, according to Scripture, in Luke chapter 12. And it says, and one of the company asks him a question. Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. Oh boy, inheritances are sometimes tricky, aren't they? But this guy says, now Jesus, now make sure that you talk to my brother because he needs to divide it with me. It's an even split, it sounds like, is what he's implying here. But Jesus looked right through him to the problem in his heart. You see, his problem was covetousness. Jesus says to him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You say, what? Huh? A man's life is not about how much stuff we got. How much money we got in the bank, how many material things we have. And as we get older, they accuse us men of wanting bigger and bigger toys. But life is not about toys. Life is not about stuff. Just before that, he had almost like, why ask me this question? Who made me a judge or a divider over you? I almost take that to say Jesus was almost saying, hey, let other people deal with that. You know, I'm Lord of the universe. Why are you asking me such a almost a trivial question about money? A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Then he shares a parable. Remember last week? A parable about a rich man. He specifically called a rich man. He has a great big harvest. And he says, what am I going to do with all these crops? And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my old barns and build bigger barns. And then he says something like this, and I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it's like, wow. What's this guy's focus? The purpose of the parable is, here's a rich guy whose focus is solely on material things. Now, this guy, I think by implication, if you look at it, is probably a lost individual. But I think this speaks to our heart, to saved individuals who may have the wrong focus in life as well. And then he says, in verse 20, the Lord says, but God said unto him, and this rich guy that tore down his barns and said, hey, now I can relax. I got all the stuff I want. It says, and God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Again, he's making the comparison, and he's saying primarily, I believe from this passage of Scripture, to me it's quite clear. I don't know how really anybody could read that passage of Scripture and say, the point is, my life is not about the stuff or the money that I accumulate. Now, I know that God has blessed some of you probably with good jobs in the past. Some of you are working currently with good jobs. Some of you have been able to save some money and put aside some money and have a pretty good... And I'm not speaking or preaching against that. Money is not a bad thing. And I'm thankful for those that have money, that especially those that support God's work and say, you know what? God has blessed me, therefore I'm going to bless that ministry or that church. It needs to start in the local church, by the way, and not with that ministry specifically that may not be connected to a church. But you know what? Thank the Lord for people like that. And that's not bad in and of itself. But if your security is on your bank, in your bank account or in your retirement plan, your security is in the wrong place. If what you think about most of the time is about money and how you're going to make it and worrying about this and worrying about that, your focus is way out of balance. And we're going to see that more and more as we look at today's sermon. But the sermon passage last week and the focus was of the message, we are not supposed to focus on money. Everybody clear? Everybody see the point? It seems to be very clear from this passage of Scripture. This section addresses the wealthy or those seeking to be wealthy. So we are not supposed to focus on money. Now, it turns the corner here in verse 22, and that's what we're going to look at today. Under a biblical perspective of money and giving, we are not supposed to worry about money. You see, it kind of turns the corner. He's talking to the whole crowd, and then it says in verse 22, and he said unto his disciples. It seems to me that maybe he called them aside a little bit, or maybe he lowered his voice a little bit. I don't know exactly. But this was addressed to the disciples of Jesus. We'd call them apostles. 12 of them. One was false, one was not real, but 11 of them were real. And he's talking to them. And to me, it's kind of like, okay, well, you've talked about those who are wealthy or those who want to be wealthy. But then he turns to them and he says, and then I believe he addresses those of us who may not have much money, but we still worry about not having money. And we worry and let things bother us. Now, I've heard this passage of Scripture preached many times, and I've probably done it through the years, with a main focus, worry in general. And it's very applicable to that. Absolutely. It's about worry in general. But if you look at the specifics, it's specifically talking about worrying about material things. So it's very applicable in this biblical perspective on money and giving. Are y'all with me out there? Okay. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye, got it backwards there, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things, did you catch that? And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Are you ready for this? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I'm probably not going to be quite as point, boom, boom, point, like usual. But listen real close. The main point today in verses 22 to 28 in particular, point number one today, worry and fear about money and stuff is sin. Say, preacher, do you have to be so blunt? Well, worry and fear about money and stuff is sin. So do not worry and fear about money. You say, well, where exactly do you see this? I want to point out a couple things to you. It mentions thought a lot in this passage. Verse 22, when he starts to talk to his disciples, it says, thought for your life. Verse 25, it says, and which of you by taking thought can add to a stature one cubit? In verse 26, it says, if ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? You know, when it's saying thought and thought and thought, I believe it's talking about what you're focusing on and what you're thinking about and what you're stressing about. You know, if I could read your brain right now, I could tell a lot about you. Because who you are starts with your thoughts. Y'all agree with that? So basically, he's addressing people that their thoughts are focused and centered up on things, on stuff that are even necessities of life, right? So it says, take no thought. You know, make sure your thoughts are not focused on that. And then he goes down and he says in verse 28, O ye of little faith. And then verse 29, he says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of what? Doubtful mind. You know, I think that the taking no thought speaks of our thoughts, a preoccupancy, even a worry about these things that we need in life. Now, it's true we have certain needs in life, right? And then when he starts talking about, oh, ye of little faith and a doubtful mind, I'm not so sure that he's not speaking of fear. Fear. You know, you're doubting. It's a crossover between worry and fear. You're doubting whether God can really take care of me. Now, I realize that some of y'all, it's kind of like, well, I don't worry about money and my focus is not money. Praise the Lord for that, if you fit into that category. Praise the Lord that we are a very wealthy nation. Y'all agree with that? And things have been pretty good. I know things have gotten rough here lately with the high cost and inflation and all that. But compared to most of the world, we all are pretty wealthy, right? But he says, oh, ye of little faith, and he mentions doubtful mind. I believe that part may be speaking specifically of fear. And do you realize that fear is indeed the opposite of faith? You can either have faith that God's going to take care of it and supply what you need, or you can sit around in fear. It seems to me that if God says not to do something in Scripture and we do it, guess what that sounds like to me? That sounds like sin to me. Not doing what God tells us to do or not to do, but doing the opposite is also sin, right? Then he gets even more specific in this passage. He says, basically, do not worry about food. Do not worry about food. How many of you like food? You know, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's people that live to eat and people that eat to live. I fit more in the category number one. I enjoy eating. I enjoy food, and therefore dieting is not necessarily a pleasant thing. And I found out one thing that's not necessarily good is, you know, when you do Weight Watchers or do this and the points are assigned to a certain food if you eat so much of it, if you eat more than you're supposed to, it's about as bad as eating steak, you know? Not a good thing. I've noticed I've been pigging out on diet food some. That's not good either. Like, oh, give me some of those crackers. How many points are there? There's 2 points for 19 crackers and I eat 40, 50 crackers. That's not good. Adds up quick, right? But according to this passage, you and I are not supposed to worry about food. And God bringing in enough for us to purchase food. And for God, is he going to really give me enough to sustain my life? Now, some of us are really, really, really tight. Some might have more, but some people, if you're tight or you have more, you still worry about it. You're worriers by nature. Worry is sin. What, regardless of what category it's in, it is sin. But he says specifically, don't worry about food. In verse 22, he says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. So he talks about eat. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And then he has a picture thrown in there as far as the eating category. Don't worry about God providing you food. He mentions ravens. Notice the ravens. They don't sow or reap, and they don't have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Do you know the point here? It's not rocket science, okay? Do you know the point? The point is, if God provides for the birds, you're his child. If you know him as Savior, he's going to provide for you. That doesn't mean that we're lazy not on the logs, right? We don't do anything. I'm not going to work because God's going to provide. Now, if you got that attitude, you need to get right with the Lord. Because it also advocates us working. And if you don't work to provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. Remember that? So that's out of balance if you feel that way. It's not saying that. But if you're doing your part and working, there's no need to sit around and worry about whether God's going to bring the food in. Just look at the birds. And it's really, from what I gather, it's a fallacy to say that they eat like a bird. That mean they eat a little. Birds eat a lot. Really? So if God takes care of them that eat a lot, God will take care of us as well. We don't have to worry about it. Those are necessities in life. And he also talks about don't worry about your clothes if you're going to have the clothes that you need. It says in verse 22, neither for the body what ye shall put on. And then he uses another picture. He talks about lilies and grass. Notice, consider the lilies in verse 27. How they grow, they toil not, they don't spin either. Yet not, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then, notice, God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he what? Will he clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. You see, we don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about clothes, these necessities in life. Because God says, I got this. I'll take care of it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Notice this verse. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, let me ask you something first. Does the Bible, is it still applicable to us? You sure? It says, but my God shall supply all your, what? Need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many riches and glory does the Lord have? Bunches and bunches, right? So will God not supply your need? It doesn't say he'll supply our wants. He said he'll supply our needs. And this passage we're looking at in Luke chapter 12 says, do not worry about the necessities of life. Do not worry about money. Do not worry about stuff. And when you do, it is sin. Lord nails down in this passage too, where's the power in providing food and clothing? Where's the power lie? Well, it's not definitely with us, because it says in verse 25, how many of y'all can add 18 inches to your height? A cubit. Can I tell you a secret? I wish I could add 18 inches to my height. I'm vertically challenged, but I'm thankful when I'm around some people, I'm like, I feel really, really good because I'm taller than they are, but not too often. But if I could, and the point is, why are you worried about all these things? You can't do anything about it anyway. You've heard it said, worry is the advanced price we pay for things that never happen. So we sit back and I wonder. I mean, some of you on a really general scale, you're preoccupied with the U.S. economy collapsing to a point of worry. Now, it might collapse. I'm well aware of that. But if your brain is worried, and say, you know, if that happens, how in the world are we going to afford food? How in the world are we going to... Are you a child of God? Don't worry about it. I mean, you can talk about it. You can analyze it. You can listen to it on the news. But when you cross that line and start to worry about it, you can't even add any inches to your height. I'm telling you, you can't even add an inch. I can't either. Wow. I can wear heels. That was pretty big when I was in high school. You know, we called them clodhoppers. But you could wear dress shoes that had a big heel on it. I was a little taller when I was in high school because of those clodhoppers. I'll just stand on my tippy toes. You can't make yourself grow. And quite obviously, it says in verse 26, if you then be not able to do that which is least, why take you thought? Why do you worry about the rest? You know, really what we do when we worry, and again, the primary topic here in this passage is about money, about material things. It is. But the principle applies to all areas. When we worry, let me tell you, it's sin. I don't care how you slice it, okay? You can justify it, say, oh, but I'm not worrying about it at all. But and then you can tell by the worried look and the crinkle in their forehead that they're really worrying about it. That's sin, okay? When we worry, we are telling God, I don't think you got this. Right? So in a very general way, you say, well, God's not speaking to my heart in this area of money and worried about, but I worry about this. Well, then that's sin. You know, it's kind of funny to me. In Christian circles, it almost seems like there are certain, how do I put this? There are certain sins that are just horrible. Like lying and cheating on your spouse and murder. Oh, those are bad. But there's certain, I'd almost call them fashionable Christian sins. One of those is worry. It's like we just kind of, it's no big deal. You do it, I do it, we all do it. So let's just put it in a different category. Can I tell you seriously, honestly, it's not in a different category. Sin is disobeying God. Sin is when we displease God. It doesn't matter what the title of the sin might be. Now, the consequences might vary. Right? Hello? The consequences might vary, but you cannot classify one sin as fashionable as a Christian. I'm going to worry about money. I'm going to worry. It's just the way God made me. No, it's not. We have the sin nature, but God also gave you the Holy Spirit, right? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, right? So the world may say, worry, fret, this is what you want. And I say, I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Now, seriously, there's certain things in Christianity and even in the church, we're kind of like, that's okay. That's all right. Well, that's not as bad. You know, at least you didn't murder anybody. No, I'm telling you. If I want to be close to God, I need to sort those things out. And I need to make sure that my heart is clear and pure and that my heart is worry-free. Because when we worry, we are telling God, I'll say it one more time, you can't handle this, God. So I'm going to take it on myself and I'm going to worry about it. And I'm going to turn myself into a frizzy because of it. Because I really, 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 the root of the issue is I don't trust you, God. Wow. Got kind of quiet in here. But anyway. You see, worry about anything is sin. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Notice this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Notice what it says. Everybody listen. Everybody awake, alert, enthusiastic. It says, be careful for nothing. Now, really the best way to say that, because that doesn't, be careful. Okay. Really the idea behind it, I'll guarantee you, don't worry about anything. Okay? Anything. Now, let me tell you, anything. Does that mean really anything? Absolutely. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about any single solitary thing in your life. Our lives as Christians ought to be worry-free zones. Okay, that didn't go over too good. Our lives as Christians, we ought to be walking and talking worry-free zones. Seriously. We ought not be worried about anything. I mean, you say, preacher, this world's getting really bad. We got a lot of criminals all over the place. I'm just worried one of them's going to step up and shoot me. Well, they'd, in one hand, be doing you a favor. Just be in the presence of God sooner, right? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, prayer, general term, supplication, being real specific about it, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? So when I feel a thought coming on, it's a worry thought. And can I tell you, I know, do not fall out of your seats, okay? There are times that your pastor worries. Anybody get up and leave, please. Now, I'm by nature not a worrier. Amy will vouch for me on that. I am not one of those fretting, you know, chewing my nails off and all that. But there are moments, there are times that I worry. And I imagine that if you're here today and you're sitting in a pew and you're still got breath, you probably have moments that you worry. And some people, if they don't have something to worry about, they'll create something to worry about because they're such a worrier. It's sin. You don't call it anything else. It is sin. And I'm telling you, can I read your brain right now? Some of you are thinking, preacher. We all do it, so it can't be too bad. Boy, if that's an excuse, why not just all go get a marijuana joint and smoke it? Because a lot of people do it. I mean, seriously, if you follow that logic. And what your parents always say, well, if they jump off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? No, just because a lot of Christians worry about a lot of things, money and things that we need, and they worry about family, and they worry about dying, and they worry about all of these things. Just because everybody else does it, doesn't mean you got to. Be different. But it says, pray about it. Go before God and say, God, I need you. I feel that worry creeping in my brain, in my heart. And pray specifically. And Lord, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. That's the supplication part. Be specific. And while you're at it, it says with thanksgiving, Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that you do for me. I thank you. This home is not this world is not my home. I thank you. I got heaven to look forward to. I thank you that I have a God like you. Whatever you want to thank him for, thank him. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God. And say, God, I'm worrying. I'm worried about this. I pray that you'll take care of it. Lord, I'm worried about this. Lord, just take care of it. Lord, I'm worried about this. Just take care of it. Notice what it says. Not only if you quit worrying do you stop sinning, but notice there's a blessing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We can't even explain it. When you do that and throw the worry away and turn it over to God and leave it there, if you allow it to happen, God says, I'm just going to, boom, there you got peace, which passes all understanding. You're like, boy, that blows my brain. I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm not concerned about that anymore because I turned it over to the Lord. Shall keep your hearts and minds, your thoughts and your emotions through Christ Jesus. Excuse me, the idea there, shall keep. The picture is, in the Greek, is like a soldier standing guard. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So when I feel those worry, those seeds of worry in my mind, whether it be in any area of life, but in the area of money, and I'm going to start worrying about that. I'm not. I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. I'm going to say, Lord, pray to him. Lord, I'm calling to you, buddy. I don't mean any disrespect by calling him buddy. I call a lot of people buddy. Typically, I don't call God buddy, so I don't know where that came from. But God, Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you. And I got a problem here, and I'm coming to you because I know you can answer the problem. And here is the problem, and you're real specific about it. And this is what I'd like for you to do. And by the way, thank you for all that you do. And it says that peace, kaboom, will settle on you. Garrison, guard your heart. The peace of God will guard your heart and say, no, 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 get out of here, worry. No, 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 get out of here, concern. Get out. We sometimes do that too. We don't want to call it worry. So we say, well, I'm really not worried, but I think I'm concerned. If you have to spend that much time trying to come up with that, it's probably worry. Okay, but you don't have to worry, child of God. You don't have to worry. You are a child of God. I can tell some of you are not happy. I'm picking on your pet sin. You say, I like to worry. Well, God bless your heart. Worry about anything is sin. Worry about anything is sin. Today we've talked about a biblical perspective on money and giving. The main point of the day, we are not supposed to worry about money. Money. Worry and fear about money and stuff is sin. There's no other way. You'll never convince me that worry is not sin. I just don't see it in Scripture. Worry about anything, specifically in this passage about money and stuff, is sin. So do not worry and fear about money. The boys and I have kind of an ongoing joke. You know, they'll say, well, Dad, what are you preaching on tomorrow? Sin? Oh, yeah? I'd say, yeah, I'm preaching on sin, and I'm still against it. And we joke about that. So I'll ask him, what are you preaching on? I'm preaching on sin. I'm still against it. Can I say, today I preached on sin, and I'm still against it, and regardless of what your preacher says, God is against it. Worry and fear about money and stuff is sin. So do not worry and fear about money. The question I have for you, that close to finishing. The question I have for you, do you worry and fear about money? Do you worry and fear about money? And if you'd honestly say, no, I'm a preacher, I really don't worry about money, but I worry about this, this, this. Well, it all fits. If that's you and you worry and fear really about anything, first of all, you need to recognize that that's sin. Again, there's no such thing as fashionable Christian sin. You know, I go, that's okay, okay. Because I know several people in church and they worry more than I do, so I'm good. No, you're not. If you worry and fear about anything, about money, about it, recognize, first of all, that it's sin. I mean, if you don't recognize it's sin, you're not going to deal with it. And you're not going to repent of it. You're not going to turn it over to the Lord. So recognize that that's sin. Ask God for forgiveness and help. And with God's help, stop worrying and being afraid. Stop worrying and being afraid. If you'd bow your head for a word of prayer.